Hi, I'm Bobby McKeon. I'm a nurse practitioner, and we're sitting outside my apartment by the pool, enjoying the beautiful Northern California day.
Describe what it looks like out here.
Oh, I'm looking at about 8 big, beautiful palm trees and some very green grass, flowers.
And it happens to be your day off, but you're not feeling so well.
No, I'm having some swelling over some veins that got clotted off, and it's kind of painful, and I feel pretty crummy today.
As we talk, Bobby McKeon holds an ice pack on her left shoulder to numb the soreness. She says her problems began one day at work.
And it all started with a paper cut.
A paper cut.
I was sending lab reports out to my patients, and I got a paper cut. And didn't think much of it. You know, you just wash it off, throw a Band-Aid on it, and keep going.
Her finger got worse. She took an antibiotic. It didn't work. She took a second, stronger antibiotic. That didn't work either. Her nail was removed and pus drained. After a third antibiotic failed, a culture of her finger identified MRSA. Vancomycin was the last in the line of drugs left to treat the infection, and it had to be administered intravenously. Vancomycin resolved the infection, but the introduction of the intravenous line set off a series of serious health problems, including a blood clot in the largest blood vessels in her body, and further complications which affected her lungs and heart. Only recently has she returned to work, having spent nearly 3 years recuperating.
Let's see, 3 years ago, I think I used antibiotics maybe 5 times in my life. I was very healthy. I ran 4 to 5 miles every day. It was just different than it is now. I didn't get short of breath. I could go hiking. I could do anything I wanted. I could get on a plane and fly. Now they're telling me that's not a smart thing to do because they don't pressurize the plane until it gets to be about 3,000 feet. And so that can affect my lungs. So I'm kind of stuck.
She has to sleep sitting up, is dependent on blood thinners, and exercises consciously. Her attitude toward antibiotics and how she prescribes them has radically changed.
My colleagues tease me. They say it's a lot easier to get a prescription for a narcotic from me than it is for an antibiotic. I'm absolutely very intense on teaching people about antibiotic resistance. And when someone comes in and they've got a sinusitis that 5 years ago would have been treated with an antibiotic, and they want it now, and you have to explain that it's viral and it's not going to help, they don't really want to hear that. They just want that little magic pill. So I spend a lot of time educating my patients.
David Witt chairs the infectious disease group for the 3.5 million members of the Kaiser Permanente Health Insurance Plan in Northern California. Bobby McKeon was his student and co-worker.
You know, I think what's unique about her is just how simply compelling the case is. This kind of problem is ubiquitous, but so seldom do we have such a perfect demonstration of how a trivial infection can become catastrophic.
So what does Bobby's case represent?
What it represents is the real threat of antibiotic resistance. It's not in those who've taken the antibiotics necessarily. It's a community. It's a public health issue. It represents the dangers of not having effective drugs or safe drugs to treat serious infections. And it's a very early glimpse of the future if we don't do everything we can to prevent this.
Kaiser Permanente actively promotes the appropriate use of antibiotics through mailings, posters, and flyers. Clinic guidelines address the issue of antibiotic resistance, and doctors are encouraged to prescribe antibiotics only when absolutely needed. David Witt says this strategy among Kaiser patients has produced a 40% reduction in the use of antibiotics for diagnoses where antibiotics are of questionable value.
The appropriate use is not zero. The appropriate use for colds is zero. The appropriate use for upper respiratory infections is zero. The appropriate use for sinusitis is probably 20% of what we use. The appropriate use for otitis media or ear infections is probably 20 or 40% of what we use. So our goal is not 100% reduction. We don't know exactly what the low is. I think we're approaching what's called a nadir. I think we're approaching the low.
David Witt walks down the corridor of a Kaiser hospital in South San Francisco, where patients are recuperating from serious illness or surgery. Precautions are enforced here because drug-resistant bacteria take hold and can spread infection among patients who are the weakest. Dr. Witt points out an isolation cart equipped with gloves and gowns and masks, and to the alcohol gel dispensers mounted on the wall between every two rooms.
When we look in hospitals, what puts people, for instance, with leukemia or bone marrow transplants at risk, it's staff not washing their hands. So it's actually a much simpler issue than we would think.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that simple hand washing could basically solve a problem.
That's correct. And my patients who have chemotherapy get very low white counts. I actually will have them ask everyone coming in, did you wash your hands? And it's I think it's very effective. I think it's necessary, but it's a very effective educational tool.
David Witt says incremental changes have real benefits. While we cannot stop bacteria from mutating, he says, we can slow down their spread by simple hand washing and the appropriate use of antibiotics. I'm Roseanne Skirbel.